I read it from a reputable green team site. This is from theCelticsBlog.com, right, Murray?
Correct.
Okay. Bobby Manning wrote this the other day, and it was just a survey of the players that came out of the third lottery position. Not the third pick, but the teams that started with the third lottery position and what happened. He said,
This is Cousin Anthony. Welcome to the Bobcast.
So that's where I got it from, Dave, just by the way.
What's up?
I am super hot, son. It's mad hot. It's like super humid.
This office I'm in is absolutely sweaty.
Yeah, it's like my family does not believe in air conditioning, so we just have fans running, and I'm like super hot.
There's only one room in my house that doesn't have air conditioning. It's the only place I can find peace and quiet and get stuff done.
The one without air conditioning?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that devastating? Do beds have the same impact on you that they do on me?
In what sense?
If there's a bed nearby, does it just make you way too relaxed, you can't get work done, and you just want to gravitate toward the bed and lay down?
I feel like it doesn't have to be a bed, but it could be like also like a couch, something like that. If I'm in a location that is just like straight desks, I'm like, okay, I have to work here. But if there's anything where I'm like, I feel like I could relax there, I like start to drift downwards.
Yeah, it's one of the great scams that just kills me is that I gotta find like a nice place to relax. And it's easier at Q's because we got the libraries and stuff. Like I can go to Newhouse. But if I'm around here at home, I gotta find like a cafe and pay money for that. It's nuts.
I mean, you couldn't go to like the library?
Yeah, I don't really know how the libraries work around here, to be honest. They didn't teach me that as a kid.
You walk in and you sit down.
What if I'm in a city I don't know too well, though? That happened to me earlier this week.
They banned you from the library? What happened?
Is there a library in every city?
I feel like most cities have them. Probably not towns, but like cities should have libraries.
Yeah, I'm blaming my phone most because I'm always on my phone. That's a tough one for me.
Is there like an anti-phone law in the libraries as well? Dude, I don't know. I feel like if you're in a city, and you're certainly near a city, there is a library nearby that you can just go in and you can just sit down.
All right, problem solved. So we have addressed my life issues here out of the gate. I'm Bobby Manning. That's Lindo Zay. We have a Bobcast for you here. This is episode whatever.
Exactly.
Russell Westbrook is a Houston Rocket, which is something we didn't see.
So there was like a report earlier, maybe earlier today even. There were serious talks going on with the Heat. So it was like Hero, some picks, Bam, and Justice Winslow, I believe, was like the discussion. And so I was like, oh, okay, he's going to the Heat. And then out of nowhere, it was just, he's going to the Rockets.
That's how these things go. The thing that has the most quiet momentum behind it that no one's talking about ultimately ends up becoming reality. Because how many people mention the Heat all week long? Heat, 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 Heat. They have the players. They have Jimmy Butler. They're gearing up. And meanwhile, Daryl Morey is working behind the scenes. That's how these things go. You, wherever you're not looking is where these guys are ultimately going to land. Who was talking about Paul George to the Clippers?
Well, that was just out of nowhere. And it's crazy that that was really the important piece in securing Kawhi, because no one was thinking of Paul George, and the Clippers had really been completely ruled out from like a couple weeks before. It was literally only Raptors or Lakers. And so the Paul George agreement and then subsequently Kawhi, that was instant.
Everybody knows Lindo Zay is a big-time Lakers fan, and they were riding high a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now that the Clippers, wow, still high. All right, you answered my question for me. Why are you still high over there?
Let me start off with, I would have loved to have Kawhi. I'll start off there. Everybody would have loved to have Kawhi. You saw the murals. You saw everybody talking on Twitter about the big three. They're going to just take the power away from Golden State, and now it's in the Lakers' hand, et cetera, et cetera. But in the wake of not having Kawhi, I think what the Lakers have done with the resources that they had have been phenomenal. I mean, as soon as Danny Green got signed, we were like, oh, 14, that's too much. And then as picks just started dropping in more and more, we were like, okay, maybe it's not that bad. And so now in the position that they're in with having added Danny Green, Avery Bradley, Boogie, who I didn't want initially, re-signing JaVale. Oh, they got Quinn Cook as well. Re-signing JaVale, re-signing Rondo. I like what they've done. And the reason I didn't want Boogie is because I thought he would cost more money.
You're excited about two out of the four Beasley, Stevenson players coming back.
Did you watch JaVale McGee last season? He was outstanding. All right. He was at, what was he, like 12 points, like 8 rebounds or something? You did not think JaVale McGee could put that together at all.
My thinking coming into the summer for the Lakers is that they were going to go out and get some of these side guys. Chris Middleton. Maybe even, who were some of the other ones? Malcolm Brogdon. You look at those Milwaukee guys.
Bogdanovich.
Those guys could have helped them. At smaller prices, you could have filled in quality role players there. And they went all in on that Kawhi dream.
Look at what happened with, not to interrupt you, look what happened with Middleton, Bogdanovich, etc. All those people signed big deals. And so the Lakers weren't going to splash out on a Chris Middleton for a, what did he get? He got the max? They're not going to splash that out on a Chris Middleton. It was Kawhi or bust. And since they didn't get him, okay, bring in depth instead.
But they pretty much spent max money, and I know it's not long-term money. These are all short-term deals. They spent that money on big question marks. DeMarcus Cousins, McGee, Danny Green's making over $10 million for this team. I know Toronto just won the title, but he was pretty invisible on that run.
Danny Green, I think for the price, he could have gotten that from Toronto. He could have gotten that from someone else. He made 10, I think, last season, but he could have made this same amount wherever he was going to go. Just because he was present in some of those games. He went missing a couple of those games. But he was present in some of the games, and they won the title. But the DeMarcus Cousins deal, he's $3 million, I think.
Did you see how skinny he was looking?
Yeah, he got all of his talent sucked out by the Monstars. Like Charles Barkley, that's what it was.
Are you feeling better about his thin, skinny frame than you are about how pudgy he was looking last year?
I'm, once again, like I said, I was not big on DeMarcus Cousins only for the price, but I mean, I'd much rather prefer him healthy, especially with his injury concerns, and pairing him up with Anthony Davis, that's exciting as well.
Who else plays for the Lakers? Let me look at this team.
Avery Bradley, ooh. Quinn Cook, Kuzma's still there.
Caldwell Pope came back.
Unfortunately, yeah.
This is the same team as last year. Minus three of the young guys, plus AD.
Look, we're adding Anthony Davis. Let's not undercut that. We're adding DeMarcus Cousins, who at worst looks awful, but what we assume he'll play like is a decent player for $3.5 million, potentially not even starting as the center. Then you bring back, obviously, JaVale McGee coming off basically a career season at his later years. He's 31, I think. Plus Rondo's experience. Then we still have Kuzma. We have, you know, Caruso who's coming up. I saw some Lakers fans say he should start. That's incorrect. But we have depth now. And so I like what we look like. And we'll see in the first couple of games who the Lakers are.
Are you going to tell me that Caruso shouldn't start at the point guard over LeBron James?
Did you see Frank Vogel today? I think he said LeBron will not be starting at point.
That was just noise, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I think LeBron could start at the point since he already is a point forward. You watch it everywhere he's played. He's a point forward. So if it's going to be someone, it would be Rondo, even though he's old. But I'm certainly not opposed to LeBron starting at point. That allows for, you know, a Danny Green and a Kuzma or Avery Bradley, whichever one.
Both of them start. Is this going to be the Lakers smokescreen? Like the Warriors, is Durant going to play? Is he not going to play? Is it going to be who's at point guard? LeBron, Caruso, Rondo, which one?
I don't think that's a smokescreen. I think it's straightforward. LeBron already is the point guard. Let him just line up there so we get a couple of bigger players.
That's the only thing that matters in that conversation, huh? So where do they rank on the echelon of West teams now? We're going to get to this Westbrook conversation, because I have a lot of problems with that deal on both sides. I'm not thrilled with what the Thunder came away with there, and I don't know how much this raises the Rockets' ceiling. In fact, they could be inviting more problems than solutions to what they had going before. Because honestly, when I watched the Rockets last year, I said, you know, Harden's doing a great job. This guy's the MVP. I still believe he was the MVP last year. But he gets into these sequences where he's dominating the ball so much that everybody else is standing around. Chris Paul is not being made good use of out there. He's getting cast to the side when he could be making plays for Harden and others. And that's when I feel like that team got in trouble, is when they marginalized their second star. Now, Paul wasn't that great last year. Westbrook's a much better player at this juncture. But Westbrook also demands more. He needs ball time. He needs shots. He needs all of that.
So I'm hoping that we already know OKC is going to fail. So we get that one out. I'm hoping the Rockets just fail. There's just no way. I know we said it about Chris Paul already, but there's no way that Harden and Westbrook, at the way that they play right now, can realistically share the ball. I just cannot see it. Obviously, Russ is a great passer, but we see him. He's a game time player. At the end of the game, he wants the ball in his hands. Same thing with James Harden. They are not who they were, you know, 7 years ago as young guys in Oklahoma City. These are two guys who are MVPs, who are ball dominant players, who want the ball at the end of the game. So they shot, you know, I think they hit 73 pointers or attempted 73 pointers last season, the Rockets. I think they'll crack 85 this season. I think there won't be any plays in the paint. There'll be five players lined up on the perimeter, and everyone's ready to take a shot.
Let's rank these picks that Oklahoma City has. They got their 2020 own, 2020 Denver, 2021 own. The Heat just have all these picks flying around the league. The 2021 Heat pick. For some reason, Houston has pick swaps on those. 2022 Clippers. Oh, this is where we're getting into that Paul George trade.
Yeah.
2023 Heat. 24 own. 24 Clippers. 24 Rockets. Are these good picks?
I think a couple of those, I don't have it up right now, but I think a couple of those are guaranteed near lottery picks, right? First half, first round.
Yeah, these are all first.
Yeah. So, I mean, I always think whoever gets the superstar wins a trade. So, you know, maybe those will turn up to something, but you just have no idea, right? I mean, every year, 60 guys get drafted. Automatically, look at the first 10 players. Half of those guys are going to suck. And you take away like two or three of those guys, they're going to be injured or just straight busts. So you never know. When they say lottery, it's still a lottery once you draft the guy, because you have no idea what's going to happen as soon as he steps foot on that NBA.
This team's going to be so horrific in Oklahoma City that I look at this and I say their own picks are going to be more valuable than any one of these other ones, especially in these pick swap years. they're not even going to want to swap picks.
Don't overrule those Houston picks, because as soon as Harden goes out, you know, Clint Capella gets traded or ends his contract, Eric Gordon's gone, they're going to look pretty awful as well.
So 2020, they got the Denver one, so that's going to stink. Yeah. They got their own, which is going to be great, probably top three. And then they move on to 2021. Like, Miami's isn't going to be any better next year. They got their own one's going to be better that year, too. 2022, the Clippers. I guess the Clippers' window could be short. When you're getting 2-3 years down the line, when these pick swap comes, things could be wildly different. Like, we're looking at a 2-3 year NBA range right now, and as far as like what the league looks like, things are going to be transitioning like on the threes now, it looks like. I just, in the short term, like, they're going to be leaning on their own picks as much as anything else.
You think they're a lottery team at the moment? I don't think they're a lottery team.
What do they have?
They got Steven Adams. They got Chris Paul coming in. They got Gallinari, right? Gallinari's in there. I'm literally just rambling. They're going to suck.
That's the other thing about this. They have three big contracts they got to move. They don't have to move these.
Oh, Shea. They got Shea Gilgeous-Alexander as well. I don't think they're a lottery team. I think they'll be awful. But they're not. They're going to be like, you know, 12th, 13th in the West. They're not going to be like fighting against like the Hornets next season and the Wizards.
Yeah. Well, Wizards got Isaiah Thomas.
You know, everybody keeps saying he just needs a chance. I saw him take his chance with the Lakers. I think that was at least strike two. So whoever is strike three, I guess it may be this season. Either it'll make him or he's done after this season is my prediction.
Is Chris Paul ever going to play a game for the Thunder?
He is, what, 34 and he has 40 million in the next two seasons?
Yeah.
Is he, or three seasons? Who's taking that? Who is actually going to take that? Like, who are the suitors?
Could it be the Lakers?
What do they have to offer?
So I saw a mock trade. They could do Bradley, McGee. They're gutting their depth a little bit here. But those type of players.
I mean, the only strength the Lakers have, obviously they have LeBron and AD. Most people would say the favorite duo. But their strength right now is their depth. The fact that they got to line the lineup and stretch it out. So if they give that up, it's like...
They can't
give
up.
Chris Paul is not a big three. Chris Paul is not a big three if you add him right now.
See, that's two and a half. I saw Westbrook as a guy that Charlotte and New York could absorb too. Like, those teams would just take him because he's a superstar and they could sell that. No one's taking Chris Paul just to get Chris Paul at this point. This is a tough end for Chris Paul, isn't it?
I mean, he's washed up, unfortunately. He was a great player. Now he's old and injury prone. And he, you know, good for him, he cashed out. But not good for his playing career, as no one really wants to pick that up. You know, I always like when players make money, especially not when they're not on my team. But... you know, looking at it from an exec's point of view, I'm not going to be willing to really splash out on, you know, $40 million for the next three seasons.
This is tricky for the Thunder. They're going to be dealing with a bad team for the first time in franchise history in that city, and there's no clear exit in sight for them. One of those 15 picks could certainly cash in, and I guess that's the best chance you give yourself as the team that drafted Westbrook, Durant, Harden, Ibaka. You draft all four of those guys, I guess you're going to go right back to the lottery and try again. It's just not going to look good next year.
They're just a bad team. And they have, you know, if Chris Paul is the leader, then they have a leader. But if he's not the leader of this team, then they have no leader. They have no, I don't know what their brand of basketball is. I have no idea what their style is now that Westbrook is gone. And
well,
Paul
we'll
George.
Get to see that guy who backed out of Syracuse, Darius Bazley, a lot more now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know, no good luck to him. Hope that's a bust.
My editor.
Oh, did you want
my editor at my Syracuse blog? I always want to write about him, and he just doesn't let me.
About Bazley?
Yeah.
What were you writing? Like Syracuse lost hope.
He doesn't want to talk about him. I guess
I can assume.
Can we relate him to Syracuse at this point? Like, oh, that's the guy who almost went to Syracuse. Or is there just no relation? I think that's what our debate is.
Well, the relation is that he skipped out on Syracuse. That's the big point. That he went and branched off and said, I'll go to the G League instead of playing for Syracuse. I think he signed thinking Syracuse was great, and then he watched a couple games and was like, G League. Did you want my big prediction for this season? My hot take,
sure.
Right out of the oven, that this Knicks roster could sneak that eighth position.
Mm.
I after I've been really looking at it, because the Knicks are just a team that we make fun of every season. Like no matter what happens, the Knicks get made fun of for good reason. But they are like that team that everyone has decided suck every year.
Who are our playoff teams in the East? Bucks certainly.
Bucks, 76ers.
Certainly.
Celtics.
Yes,
Raptors.
But I don't think I'd name them yet.
You wouldn't put the Celtics in the playoffs right now?
No, I wouldn't name them third if we're really just saying like
these teams. Oh, you're saying in order.
Here. Yeah, so it's Bucks and 76ers at the top. Are the Pacers better than the Celtics?
I don't know, because they just lost on Bogdanović, who is like a hidden gem last season.
He was. He was near all NBA. That's a good point. You probably get a net loss there with Brogdon and his injury concerns.
Yeah, and you don't know about Oladipo coming back next year. You have no idea what it'll look like yet.
They got a decent buffer in Jeremy Lamb, but yeah, certainly he won't be back till like January. So yeah, that impacts their regular season record big time. This also is a Celtics team that Brad Stevens is going to do better with. So yeah, we can put them third.
Do you think that the Raptors will I know they're making the playoffs. Are they going fourth right there, or are they dropping lower?
They're not going to be a home field advantage team.
Okay.
Especially so then, if things go rough in the first few months, you might see them go the other way and start disbanding some of their pieces. I think they're going to bring this team in the next year because they got to celebrate the championship a little bit. They could veer away from that pretty quickly if things go bad. I think we're down to Miami and Brooklyn at that four spot, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm saying it's the Nets.
The Nets are excellent. Their youth is really going to drive them if they embrace it. That's all on Kyrie, though. Like, that team is all on Kyrie next year. Is he going to embrace the youth? Is he going to step up his game?
I think he'll quickly make scapegoats out of the youth, just like he did in Boston, should things go south.
Can he do that on the team he chose?
Yes, absolutely. Didn't he choose Boston, essentially? The other choice traded, was, I'll sit out. The other choice was, I'll sit out. He relatively...
No,
I mean,
Cleveland
could have
traded him
there?
Anywhere else, though. Phoenix.
I don't know. I think at the time that was the best option possible. So it was kind of they were kind of cognizant that Boston was the option.
It fits though. Celtics were the 4 seed last year, Nets this year. 5.
Yeah.
We go with Heat.
Yes.
Heat should be much better.
Is Jimmy Butler like the star?
Yeah, he'll have the ball in his hands all the time down there. And it's about time. They had a little too many equal pieces going on down there. Like, there was just everybody you look at on that team, you say, yeah, he's good, he's good, he's good. It was just good guys up and down.
The only thing that I'm scared of is that he'll go full Jimmy Butler like he did in Minnesota if things go bad there as well. And it'll just look like another scene.
Let's look at his teammates, because those are the guys who are either going to mesh with him well or just completely drive him crazy. Hassan Whiteside moving out the door was ginormous, because that guy was going to drive him nuts.
It was going to be immediate. It was going to look like the Karl-Anthony Towns or the Jimmy Butler versus with the bench players versus the starters.
Oh,
it was going to be that all over again.
Him going after Towns and Wiggins would have been nothing compared to Whiteside saying ready or not and sprinting around the locker room and just being a fool.
Ready or not.
A-R-E.
So they got Dragic. They still have Bam. They got Tyler Herro coming in from Kentucky.
Did they get Myers Leonard from Portland?
Yes, they did.
Excellent move.
Yeah, they got Myers Leonard and they got one other person. It's escaping me right now, but I'll think of it probably at an unfortunate time. They got someone else.
Look that up for the end of the show.
Okay. Kelly Olynyk still, which is something.
That could,
and then
be
they
a
have
guy. That could be a guy who gets a Butler.
Yeah.
Shoot the ball.
Actually, yeah. Deion Waiters, Justice Winslow.
Oh, Waiters. Uh-oh. There's some flags there. There's some flags.
That's what people said. The last shot. Who's going to take that shot? Is it Jimmy Butler or is it Deion Waiters?
This team is really going to play into Eric Spoelstra's legacy. That guy's a Hall of Famer. He's gotten his due acclaim. They won 39 games with a pretty good team last year. If they can't get it done near home court with this team, he's in trouble in terms of legacy, because he's going to be owing a lot of that to LeBron.
They snuck in a lot of wins with a below-average team last season. I mean, Dragic was injured for a lot of the time.
That's
obviously
true.
Deion Waiters was out. They really played amazing for what they had at the time. I think the addition that they have now, especially with Deion Waiters coming back, should bring them to the playoffs. There's just no chance, and they should get close to a home court kind of team.
We have 5 teams now?
Yeah.
Pacers slide in at 6, right?
Yeah.
7, Orlando?
Yes. I was just about to say that. I have a friend who's a very good Orlando, who was a very big Orlando fan, who is telling me, like, oh no, they're revitalized all of a sudden, which I don't believe, but I think they'll retain the position they had last season, and I think they might actually win, you know, a game or two more. They might, you know, get to that 6-7 kind of spot.
That last spot now, I'm looking at the Pistons because they have the best player of anybody in that bottom tier of teams there. Blake Griffin got himself back to near MVP form last year.
Yeah.
The Bulls got better. They're not a playoff team yet, though. Same with the Hawks.
Okay, that's what I was about to say. Are you going to say that the Hawks are not making that eighth seed right now?
I like them as the sleepy pick there. Blake might just get it done for Detroit, though. Blake is just good enough where he just might will them the 500 record and get them back in there with the 8 and just get pummeled by Giannis again.
He might will them? I don't know about that. I think the Hawks, who somehow, through just great play and obviously the runner-up for Rookie of the Year, they put together 29 wins or so. They can definitely pick up more wins with the team that they have coming in next season. I mean, especially now that they have DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish, add them into the side.
These are young guys in salary dumps, though. I love where that team's going. I think they're one of the futures of the league. But they're going to be playing significant minutes of Allen Crabbe, Chandler Parsons, and Evan Turner unless they flip those guys again.
But I think that's fine. I mean, Chandler Parsons is on one of the most underrated worst deals in the league at the moment. But if he comes back from his injury, you know, successfully, that's a pickup.
Jabari
you have
Parker?
Trae Young. Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
I love the young guys on that roster. I just don't think they have the right vets and impact guys to do anything next year.
I think Vince Carter's age will bring them close at least to that 8th spot. I think they're going to propel upwards.
So you're throwing away your Knicks take. We walked all the way down this road, and you're not going to give me your Knicks pitch.
I was telling you, dude, with their additions, so they won what? 17 games last season. They won 17 games. They won 17 games, and they lost 13 games with their horrible tanking team. They lost 13 games, 2 possessions or less, 6 points or less. So this year, you take that they're adding Julius Randle, they're adding Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson, and Elfrid Payton, whatever he adds. They're putting that all together. They still have who'd they get from the Mavs?
Dennis
Smith Jr., Alonzo Trier, and everyone keeps talking about Kevin Knox and Mitchell Robinson. I think that team could jump up to, you know, 15 plus wins. I think that they could get into the position of people talking about them making that 8th seed should they play well as soon as the season starts.
I like
now, the season
young
starts
guys,
like we think.
Haven't they thrown too many average vets in front of those young guys, though? Like, they just brought on Marcus Morris, who's probably going to block, I don't know, Trier, one of them a little bit. Then you got Julius Randle, Taj Gibson, Portis, all splitting time with Robinson. I don't love that. Dennis Smith sharing time with Elfrid Payton.
Mitchell Robinson's the center, so he's not splitting anything with Julius Randle or Bobby Portis. They're sharing the, you said Trier? No, you said Robinson. They're the power forward slots. So you have Julius in at starting and then Bobby Portis coming in. I think that works wonderfully, but it's just a matter of their guard situation, which is random. And like you said, the vets deal, you know, Wayne Ellington, Taj Gibson, I don't know what they do. But if Frank Ntilikina comes back well, if Elfrid Payton somehow gives them something, plus the addition of R.J. Barrett.
Barrett's looking bad in summer league.
Okay, you know who looked really good in the summer league? The Lakers with Lonzo Ball. How did they do in the regular season? So I don't take the summer league into consideration. I really don't even watch games unless I flick through the channels and see it on. I think that team has the ability to climb.
For what they ended up failing to do in free agency, I think they took the right approach, is sticking with the youth and adding in some veterans who could complement them. I just hope those guys don't end up blocking them for the sake of making a playoff run.
This is not an F free agency for the Knicks. This is like a C, which is much better than their record. Their record was by far a fail, 17 wins. I think they could try and get that up to 30-something wins, high 30s.
So how do Westbrook and Harden share the ball in Houston? We still got to answer that question.
They don't. They both stand at the inbound pass with their hands out screaming. No, I have no idea. Like I said, Westbrook is obviously, everyone overlooks he's a great passer. And I'm the biggest Russell Westbrook hater. I'm sure I've said it before. I'm the biggest Russell Westbrook hater. He's a great passer, though. So if he's running the ball down the court, he'll have Harden open, certainly on some plays, when he drives and the defense collapses in. So in theory, it's an amazing tandem. But in practice, I do think that it'll just collide. I just don't see them coming together and saying, okay, I'll only have this many touches, you only have this many touches. With Chris Paul, it worked out better because he was aging and needed it less. But with Westbrook, this is a guy who's, what, two seasons off an MVP? That is not going to go through his mind. He's going to get there and say, okay, I'm still Russell Westbrook, and I was starting when you came off the bench. So I will be taking the touches. That's just how I see it.
We'll talk to you next week, Windows A.
Absolutely.
So that's where I got it from, Dave.
Bobcast.